Thank you, Lord. You got it? Amen. Well, we've been definitely praying. We love to spend a little time in the mornings always with the Lord. And God has a way of speaking to us if we'll listen. He said, you know, he who has ears, let him hear. And I find that no matter when or where I am, what's going on, God is always speaking. And, you know, a lot of times I find that it's definitely that still, small, quiet voice that I have to shut down these other things that are pushing me, driving me, doing whatever they're doing in order to hear that direction, that what God wants me to do. And so that's, I don't know about you, but, you know, we've tried all different times of the day to pray and to do what we're going to do, but I find that when no one's moving, there isn't any sounds, that morning is the best. You know, and even the Bible talks about that morning, these men of God that would rise up early and seek the Lord. And God is going to speak to you, and, you know, no matter what, he's going to straighten out your life. He's going to begin to do some of the things that you've longed for. And so I want to pray. Thank you, God. Father, we look to you for your word. Your word is true. It's encouraging. It's life-giving. It brings healing. It brings deliverance. It just brings joy and peace and the things that the world does not have. Lord, you are full of it. And so, God, we ask that somehow our ears would be open this day, God, that we could hear what you're trying to say to our inner man. And, Lord, not only that you'd give us an unction of your Holy Spirit in order to shut down the things that keep pushing us in our lives, that we can move forward in you. And so, God, we give room for you and the Holy Spirit to move now this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I begin to look into the Bible a little bit more and more, I find that, you know, it's amazing how God's love endures. And his love endured for us. You know, you think about what Jesus did for us. I mean, he the Bible says he left a home in heaven. Didn't need to. Not for any reason for himself or for anything else. He left a home in heaven to come down on earth to make a way for you and I. In the flesh, there isn't any human being that can keep the laws of God. There isn't anybody that has not sinned or will not sin or does not sin, and sin has a consequence of God, you know, he said. And so no one by the law has ever been able to do it. And so here comes Jesus, abused. You know, you think about it, you know, he came in a manger, had nowhere to lay his head, yet he's the King of glory. Everything that came into being by him and through him. Nothing, you know, that here didn't come through him, and in him is the life. And so, I mean, he has everything, and yet he came down and paid the price that you and I needed in order to have an ability to have the way. And when I say that, because, you know, I mean, you cannot work your way into the kingdom of God. I understand that fully. But salvation comes through faith in God. And faith is just simply trusting God's truth and his word. And then it begins to be reality. And so if we don't add faith to things, if we don't look in there, it just doesn't work. And so he went through all these things. And, you know, it kind of seemed like, you know, to the world and everybody else that he was defeated. I mean, everybody's standing around, they're crying and everything else. And then what happened is the curtain rips from top to bottom. And suddenly now you and I, see, at that time only priests could go into the so-called Holy of Holies. And now the access to into the Holy Spirit, into the presence of God once again becomes, I mean, everything that you could, and not only that, he went on into hell and conquered sin and death, eternity. These things he did, and I mean, you know, he was bruised. You know, you think about it. I think about the little bit of suffering. You know, everybody's going through all these things, you know. And yet, I mean, his beard was plucked out. He was whipped with these lashes. He was done. And that was for you and for me, just so that we can have a way. You know, I mean, I think it's almost a joke how we can get so far into a pity party for ourselves. You know, and all the price that God paid, and if we'll only look to him, what is my next step? What do you want me to do next? See, that's the way out. That's the way through. And that's what God wants us to begin to do. And you know, his obedience, actually, it brought a blessing, didn't it? And so he was willing to be obedient even unto death, and that brought this great blessing unto us. Salvation's real. I don't know about you, but you know, I didn't have a clue what it was until I got saved, until I asked Jesus, you know, literally in my heart, forgive me, Jesus. And then I cried out, I said, help me, Jesus. And you know, salvation, like I said, it, you know, if you're wise enough, you'll look it up in a Bible dictionary, and it's going to be a page and a half long. Like I said, in that first paragraph in there, see, it took me at least 4 months at Bible school, four or five months, going to Bible school, and then you had to look up commentaries. They give you all these things if you go to Bible school. And yet they sat there in a corner collecting dust. And then when I read something, you know, God tries to speak to us if we're listening, and our listening isn't always real good. But when I was reading in Peter, it says that you may grow in respects to salvation. And I thought, man, that's weird. You know, I thought salvation is like eternity, a home in heaven, you know. And you know, here I am going to Bible school, you know. And so I finally, after all these months, I dusted off my Bible dictionary and opened it up and looked up the word salvation according to the gospel. The gospel dictionary. And it was a page and a half long. And the first paragraph says, the deliverance from anything that stands between you and God's highest blessing. Whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be from an enemy, whether it be defeat in battle, whether it be sickness, whether it be sin, yet even death. That's the first paragraph. I mean, I said, whoa. I think there's a few things I need to grow up into. I don't, you know, God's ways are so much higher than our ways, and we got to understand that from the very beginning, that our natural mind can't even understand the makeup of a mosquito, let alone God. All we do is we hate mosquitoes. And yet God, he has all these things in store for us. And so salvation and victory. He has a victory and eternity. He paid this price, and it's amazing. And what he says is, I don't want anyone to miss what I've made possible. And then he says, he who has ears, let him hear. And so it's important that we use these spiritual ears that God has given us, and we begin to go on. And so, you know, as I begin to see some things, you know, in Galatians, it's not up there, Rocky, but, you know, he says, never give up on doing good. He said, for in due time, you'll reap if you don't grow weary. And, you know, I think about it sometimes. You know, Jesus, see, when I read that, I began to realize Jesus never gave up. His obedience brought all these things for you and for me today here. You know, you think about these few little things that were happening back then, and these 12 disciples, I mean, it changed the world. Changed the world. It brought eternity for millions, maybe billions. We don't know how many are going to be up there in heaven, do we? But it's amazing what this did. And God says, don't grow weary. And it's a day where everybody's weary half the time. They live in weariness. And rather than being weary, let's say, hey, God, what's the next step in my life? What do you want me to do? And then actually try to shut out all these little things that are going on. And then when you read the Bible, something's gonna jump out. Well, I don't read the Bible very much. That's your problem. That's your problem. You come to church on Sunday, and the pastor, he can only preach a little message. And if that's all the food you get, I'd like to see you eat one meal in a week. You ain't going to live. You will not live. I mean, even water wouldn't be enough if you finished the rest of the week with water. I found a bottle of coconut water in the deal today, and I was just going to enjoy it. You know, it says coconut water with espresso. Like, whoa, man. I opened it up, tasted it, and then from then on I got all busy. It's sitting on my desk. I'll have to finish it before I go. But coconut water and caffeine. That sounds like, you know, health food, right? God, I don't think God wanted me to drink that before. I might have went 2 hours today. So, you know, as I begin to read a little bit, you know, and I think about the church, I think about the needs of society, I think about the church through the years, and Juanita, she can, how many times have we prayed for a revival, Juanita, through the years? I mean, she's been there, we've been there 50 years pastoring, and they've been there longer than me. And we think about all these things about what do we need, God? What do we need to see a revival? What do we need in a society that is turning away from you? And, you know, I think about a lot of the things that we talked about, family, we talked about friends. And, you know, I think the greatest things that Christians need is the love of God. We need more love towards God. We need more love towards one another. And you know, I think about it. How many times have you ever been discouraged or something and, you know, and your friend came and they helped you out a little bit and it really made a difference in your life? You know, we need to love some friends some more. We need some of these things a little bit more. Sometimes just being able to talk to somebody and begin to pour out some of the things that bug us in our heart, sometimes you get a release, you understand? And you know, and so we think about it that when we're hurting, we need a little sense of some love. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but we walk away sometimes. We feel like there's nothing there. That's what the enemy wants us to do. And so the church is always digging and always looking for answers. And you know, I don't know about you, but a lot of times friends have helped me through. You know, I mean, Paul Tucker, you know, one time, you know, we've started 7 churches and drug rehabs in America, and I'm even going to tell you all the things overseas and all these things that have happened. But one day, I'm sitting at my desk in Minneapolis. We started this church, and I mean, it was work. I don't know about you, but you know, just this morning, we bought a brand new TV, one that can hook up to Wi-Fi by itself, and all this here, put a remote by it. You know, I don't know about you. How many of you have ever had kids or grandkids that come over and you look for the remote and can't find it? Well, here we got somebody doing Sunday school. They don't have what they to plug into the old TV, so we're bringing a new TV. Oh, can't find the remote. You know, and so, you know, we think about some of the stuff that goes on in our life and how, you know, God wants to be able to take us through some of these things. And, you know, if you were to ask the church, well, what do we need? I don't know about you, but, you know, I mean, I've honestly in my life, I'm not, you know, you can talk to it before God, and doesn't matter whether you believe me or not. I've seen 3 people we prayed for raised from the dead. We've seen 171 in one meeting in India, deaf and dumb, hear and speak. I mean, this is just one meeting. I can go on to tell you, you know, like I said, there's only 2 miracles we haven't seen. I've never walked on water, and like I said before, that's only half truth because I go ice fishing. And I've never seen water turn into wine. Because I don't drink. Don't need it. And yet, you know, God, he's there with his power. And so we've seen all these things. And, well, you know what we need is we need the power of God to fall into church. And we do need the power of God to fall into church. We need people to be healed. And, you know, I've seen the church go through all these different directions. When one thing isn't there, then they get into, you know, 10 different people prophesying and all these, and you know, it talks about, you know, we need prophecy in the church. It's necessary. We need the gifts of God in the church. They're important, the Bible says. But you know, there's something that sometimes in all what we think we need, we miss the very most important thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Goes through all the gifts. Goes through all the different things in this chapter. And then he ends the chapter with this. Earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you still a more excellent way. There's something there. I mean, you can skip by that. You can you can, you know, God, what we need is when people walk in the door, the power of God just hits them. Well, that's true. That's all glory to God. But what about the body of Christ that God wants to be an example? You know, heal us and help us, God, be that kind of a place where people can come and find some answers in life. They can find a friend. They can find some acceptance. They can find some so-called, they'll know them by their love. Amen? And so he says a more excellent way. And then if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we start in verse 1. Yeah, I don't know about you. How many, you ever see people that they're always saying, oh, you know, you're so good, you're so great, man, you know, God, just, you know, and they're always saying all these things. Sometimes when everybody keeps talking good at you all the time, sometimes, you know, you kind of wonder, like, you know, is that kind of fake or phony? You ever have anybody like that in your life? You know? And so God, he's not phony. You know, it says in verse 1 now, 1 Corinthians 13, if you want to follow along. If I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned and do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now, I want to stop here for a minute. You're going to find this in your life. You're going to find this in other people's lives. And God is trying to get us as an individual to be different. Now, Paul Tucker back in 19, I don't know if it was 77 or 78, I don't remember. My wife would have to get my memory. It's not the greatest in the world. But we were heading to Mexico, and Paul Tucker, he said, I got to get a hold of you. You got to come and see me. Because we were going to see a man called Danny Oss down there, and, you know, we had this Greyhound Scenic Cruiser double-decker bus, biggest bus on the road, and we're headed down there, you know. And Paul said, you know, you got to go see the Mortimers. He said, you got to go spend time with Mortimers. If you just go down there and do this, he says, I think it's not going to be the greatest experience for you. He said, I'm going to introduce you to them. I'm going to, you know, and he gave numbers and some of these different things like that. And so what we did is we got in this bus. We drove down to Texas. And when we got to Texas, Danny Oss Ministry down there said, do you speak Spanish? No. Do you read Spanish? No. He said, do you know what the street signs are? No. He said, if you see a big red sign says Alto, he said, stop. And so here we go. About as dumb bricks can be. And we head down there, and we get there, and I want to tell you, I won't even try to tell you how we did get there, but we got there. And this bus started acting up just at the time we were starting to get close. And we made it into the place where it was, the clutch went out. Everything, you know, the clutch went out on the bus. And so here we are in this ministry. It's a big ministry. They got these centers of faith, you know, three centers of faith down in Mexico City. And they're, you know, the centers of faith because a lot of good people were doing some things. Now, Danny Oss, you know, and I'm not against him because he's done some great things, and every one of us needs to learn lessons in our life. The sooner we learn them, the better we'll be. But, you know, we were there, and we were building Sunday school rooms for them. You know, we can do concrete. We can do whatever. Please don't call me. No. But, you know, Corey, my little boy, he's my block tender. All the Mexicans down there, you know, they didn't help one bit. We'd be there working all week long. Couldn't get one person to go down and talk to a mechanic for me, you know. Here we got this bus. It's 10 beds, 185 gallons of water, got a stove, refrigerator, bathrooms, everything. It's a nice big old bus, you know. And we're staying in that bus. And, you know, I began to notice that Danny, he would have all these people come. You know, and if you had a church of 500 people or 1,000, he'd wine you, dine you, put you up in a hotel, and that would be it, you know. And Danny, all of a sudden, I'd be there, and all of a sudden, everybody's all working. All of a sudden, I'm looking around, man, nobody, the whole, you know, they got 50 people on staff, whatever it is. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's just out there jumping. Sure enough, in drives a car. It's Danny Oswald. He lives at the other center. Hey, Danny's coming to your center. And so they get the word, they're out there working. I mean, Danny was like a military dictator. Still a good man that produced a lot of things. Don't let me take away anything about saying something bad, okay? Because there's a lot of reward for him. But I don't care who you are, you got shortcomings. The name is Harley, you got shortcomings. And so, you know, here, Danny, he's got Nikki Cruz and Bobby Cruz and Richie Ray and all these guys down there. And he says, you know, I had just promised the music group, because I began to befriend these guys. You know, some things were happening. And so we told them we wanted to take them. You know, they're doing this big event in what's that? Acapulco. And we would take them there from Mexico City to Acapulco, this group, because they didn't have money. They have to pay their own way to go do the music for them. And so I told them we'd take them if I can get the bus fixed. And so, you know, long story short, Danny Ossie comes, calls me in there, and he said, I want you to take these guys to Acapulco. Danny Cruz, you know, Bobby Cruz, Richie Ray, all these guys. I want you to take them to Acapulco in the bus. And I said, well, I already promised these other guys. I said, you know, and so he just begins to rape me, you know. I mean, just he begins to just beat me, you know, with words, you know. Just what do you do? Well, I was working 16 hours a day, keeping a coffee house open 6 days a week. Only Sunday did I not preach at that coffee house. And we were taking the winner and going to Mexico to do some work. And so he's railing me for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, just do you work for a living? And all these things, he's going like that, you know? And you know, here, I couldn't get them to do anything. Corey had to be my block tender to build a Sunday school. And so then I let him go, you know, and then Harley went in flesh, you know? I said, are you done? He said, yeah. I said, you're a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I said, you're like a dictator, and I began to tell him. I said, I needed somebody to go and get a mechanic to try to help me to get a clutch, and I can't find anybody that would do it. And I said, now you want me to do this. I said, you wine and dine these guys. And so, you know, he wasn't right. Harley definitely wasn't right, but he aired his opinion. You know, you see, it is true that we can be a pastor, a man of God, a Christian, and still be a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. And you know, long story short, God put things together, good relationship after that, things happen. We did take these guys to Mexico, help the other ones pay their way to Mexico, I mean to Acapulco. But you know, God has a way, like I said, always through, but when we read these things, I mean, church, we can have miracles and we can prophesy over one another and everything else, but if we haven't really got love to listen to somebody and to help somebody and to go out of our way, we're not going to make it. And sometimes in my flesh, I'm going to be telling you some truths now. Hope you don't get mad at me, because they're my truths. We want to read a little bit more here. I want to read verses 11 through 14. Let me finish this a little bit. It says in verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag, it is not arrogant. Now, we begin to see some things that love is and love isn't. We shared a word before a little bit about this, but I had read a book before, and in that book, the person was saying, when they read this, they decided that they were going to every day read this scripture, and they were going to put their name in there. Love is patient, and when they felt like they were right with God in this particular thing, they would put their name in there. Harley is patient. Harley's never got past that first one. Harley can't say Harley is patient. Instead, I mean, Harley is kind. Well, it's kind sometimes when I feel like it. Ruffle my feathers or do something I don't like and watch the kindness go away. I mean, I got to be real with you. You understand? Because reality is what Harley needs. And I can't expect you to be different if I can't be different. And so you got to, you know, here's where you got to help me. You got to find my remote. No, not really. But I begin to read these things. Like I said, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love does not brag. It is not arrogant. I want to tell you something. Love is kind, and it is not jealous. We are so jealous someone gets an opportunity, and next thing you know, there's been more jealousy. We've had more leaders leave the church because they felt like we let somebody else do something that they wanted to do. Well, I'm going to leave the church. Wait a minute. We'll give you an opportunity. I mean, you know, you can have my job. Like, I want to retire. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffering. I don't know about you, but, you know, well, you know, they said some bad things about me. Well, they said some bad things about Jesus too, didn't they? And Jesus didn't hang on to it. I've said some bad things. I've done some bad things to Jesus. You know, and so it is not provoked. It does not take into account wrong suffering. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Then it goes on to talk about some of these things real quick about that, or if we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, and the partial will be done away with. And it talks about, and when I was a child, I used to speak like a child and think like a child and reason like a child. And when I became a man, I did away with childish things. For we see in a mirror dimly, but when face to face, we know in part. But when I will know fully, just as also I have been fully known. It says now, but now, faith, hope, love, abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, we've got to be honest with you here now, okay, because I could tell you 50 years of stories. We've been pastoring for 50 years. Harley, you know, I don't know about you, but you know, my profession is to take care of people, to help people, you know. And what would you say about people? They're weird. They can be really hard. And sometimes even friends can be cutthroat. And so, you know, I mean, you ever have somebody that you've just poured into and 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 they just don't get it? And then all of a sudden they come back and say, you're the problem. Yeah. And you know what Harley has said? I don't need them anymore. I don't even care if they come. Sorry. But that's the way you feel inside. Because, you gave everything that you thought you had, but you didn't get what you needed from God, see? You gave everything you had in the flesh. You're trying to do everything you can, but you weren't listening enough to the voice of God. Sometimes just, you know, you let every thought you need to take into captivity, because if you don't, it's going to ruin you. And so, you know, here we are, we're in these things, we're doing these things, and you know, we get into that chapter 13, and we get down there to about verse 11. I want to start reading chapter 12, excuse me. I'm going to start reading it about verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. You know, when we were down there with Danny Oss Ministry, what was really kind of fun, what God did do is, you know, during the week, the one brother, he said, I want you to preach at the youth thing. I want you to preach at the youth thing. And I'll tell you what, God gave me a word about the body of Christ and what the body of Christ is. And we gave that word. And you know, what was amazing was, is at that particular time, there was more salvations in that night. They were open every day, all day, every day, 7 days a week. That particular night was the largest salvation that they ever had, as people began to respond to being the body of Christ. That's what we are. And so when we talk about this, this is what he's describing. He says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each individual just as he wills. God is the one that wills what to do and how you can do it as an individual. And so if you get jealous because someone else is doing something you want to do, I mean, just give it opportunity. God will give you, he'll give you some time. He'll cause you to grow. For even as the body is one, yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. He's talking to the church. He's talking to you and I today. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew, Greek, whether slave, whether free. If you ain't been saved, if you ain't been baptized, if you ain't been filled with the Holy Ghost, let's get it on. Amen? It is important. All were made to drink of the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. You hear that? The body is not one member, but many. And here's where I really kind of feel bad. I've said it more than one time. You know, I'm tired of it. I'm done. I don't need it anymore. I don't care if they come. And then you read, the foot says, because I am not a hand, I'm not part of the body of Christ. For it is not any reason less a part of the body. And if the eye says, because I am not an eye, or if the ear, if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I'm not part of the body. Is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desires. If they were all one member, there would be body. There would be one body. Now, listen. I have said I don't need it anymore because this person is struggling and they're not in this place where I want them to be. And if they're struggling, does that make them any less a part of the body? Does that, you know, does that mean that, I mean, you know, if the eye is been injured or having a little bit of problem, does it make it any less a part of the body? And yet sometimes in my own attitude, I can make it a less part. I can think it's a less part. I don't need it anymore. And sometimes people struggle. And people are going to have problems. And yet, you know, God's love is a healing factor. There's something we need more than just, oh, we need to park. Well, you know, if you would read the word, you wouldn't feel that way. No. I want to tell you something. I read the word a lot. Sometimes I feel pretty weird. In fact, the more I read, the more weird I know I am. And how much I need the presence of God and the Spirit of God in my life. And so when I read this, I said, God, you know, there's been a lot of times in my life I just get tired. And I start to lose my ability to let somebody grow and be healed because they are part of the body. I mean, you think about it. I used to tell a joke, and it's not a good joke, about the body of Christ and members arguing amongst themselves, you know, and everybody thought they were the most important part in all these here things, and you know, the stomach, and they're all arguing, and pretty soon the backside got tired of them all and decided he was going to quit cooperating. Pretty soon there was pressure on every part of the body. The eyes were bulging, the stomach couldn't handle it anymore. And so it seemed like it was less part of the body. It was deemed a little less part of the body, but it was a necessary part of the body. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes you think about a part that might not be in this place where they need to be yet, and we grow in the grace of God and in the giftings of God. That, you know, you think, have you ever been really tired, exhausted, and all of a sudden you sit down on that backside, and oh, just to sit down feels so good. Now, I said to that butt, I don't care if you come anymore. I think, God, you know, here, I'm ready to reject somebody that God has chosen, even though they're raw. They're not where they need to be yet, and yet they're here because it's a hospital to get to where they need to be, where they can understand who they are, what they are, and then begin to fulfill that purpose that God called so that the body can heal itself and function and love. See, I don't know about you. I'm telling a story about myself, and I imagine if I was to look into your heart, I'd find the same thing. And so, God, we need this love that is patient, that is kind, and gives people. You know, I've had some people I've turned out of my life, and I've given them another chance, and they've turned out to be some of my best friends. They've turned out to be some of my best friends. You can't just shut a door because something was wrong. Jesus didn't do that to us. You understand? And I don't know. He'd have to shut the door on me all the time. And so he never did. He went all the way through obedience so that he could bring us this salvation, this victory, this eternity. Now, if they were all one member, where would the body be? In verse 20 it says, but now they are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You know, some of the people that come in here, you know, I mean, there was a couple of them that came in here that were just whacked out stoned. And right away, a bunch of, oh, you know, hey, look at you in the back. Yeah, I know we don't want anybody to cause trouble, but I want to tell you, I've walked into a few places stoned pretty high at times when before I got saved, too. I walked into a coffee house, Christian coffee house, and I thought they were all high because I was high. But they were just loving on me. They didn't turn me away because I was high. And I tell you what, God, it made a difference in my life. It really did. It made a difference. So I said, and on the contrary, is it much truer, in verse 20, true, that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary? Now, this is God talking. I think we need to readjust who we are, what we are, where we're going, what we want. We want the power of God. We want the gifts of God. We want people to find the gifts. God says that the gifts of God help us in our walk. And yet, the church needs the greater way even more. And so it goes on. It says, and those members of the body which deem less honor, on these we bestow more abundant honor. We got to spend time. You know, I'll tell you what, some of these come in on Wednesday to eat and then they leave. We need to love on them. You know, if you haven't been at one of these tables where they get up and go, get over there. Try to make a friend. Try to encourage them. Try to give some kind of a testimony of what and where God has done in your life. It says, on these we bestow more honor, and our less presentable members become more presentable. Less presentable become more presentable. That's how it happens. We cause them to grow. It says, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the members that lack. I'll tell you, God, he's into the hurting, and not just because they're hurting, because he wants to heal them up and change them. He wants to make them sons and daughters. He wants to give them giftings and callings. He wants to give them that higher purpose. And if one member suffers, listen to this now, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I told you that story, didn't I? Ever tell you that story about, you know, wanting God to bless me? Brand new in the things of God, driving a car that, I'm telling you, you think your car was making noise. This was making noise from the motor. And we moved up there to get into ministry. And, you know, all of a sudden the pastor comes and someone gave him a car. Man, I thought, God, he's got a car, really nice car. Well, you give him a car. I need a car. And you know, he was giving a testimony. Sure enough, a little while later, another pastor, oh, man, this guy, he gave me a check for $7,000. This is when $7,000 was worth about $15,000. I go, God, he's got a nice house. He's got a lot of money. He's got a big church. I said, why did you give it to him? Why didn't you give it to me, God? I'll tell you what, I was kind of upset. It wasn't no testimony to me. It was like, you know, that ain't no testimony. And then sure enough, this is a topper. A guy comes in, and he's holding a set of keys. He goes, oh, man, this pastor, he said, God bless me with a new car. Look at that, new car, brand new car. It blessed me with it. It's paid for. He said, come on out here. Look at it. He says, open up the door. Get in. He goes, smell it. He said, that's a new car smell. Man, I was sitting there. I was smelling it. But I said, God, why him? He's got a nice car. His wife's got a nice car. He's got a big house, and he's got money in the bank in my car. Why not me, God? I'll tell you what. I heard a voice. Because you haven't gotten there yet. He said, when someone is blessed, you're to be rejoicing with them. And when someone is discouraged, but you, all you can think of is, why don't I have it, God? Your heart is bad, Harley, he said. You know, what I did is, I went in the other room, got on my knees, I said, God, it is. Help me. Well, it wasn't more than a couple weeks later, I got a check in the mail. First check I ever got. It wasn't for much, but it was my first one I ever got, and I needed every bit of it. Amen. You know, God deals with us on an individual basis. He tells us the next step in our life. And as we begin to get right with God, we begin to realize, you know, God, he never fails. And so I need everybody that walks through that door to find their place in Christ. That's what I need more than anything. And I need help to do that. I find that the Bible says that love never fails. And so in Psalms 100, in verse 5, he says this, the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, his faithfulness to all generations. You know, as I sit there and as God shows me and he shows me needs and he shows me different things, and you know, I begin to realize he is faithful. He has been faithful, and I can't not forget the most important thing in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave himself. Not to meet his needs, but to meet the needs of the world. In doing so, what did he guaranteed? And you know, you think about it, how could anybody go through that? And the Bible says how he did it. For the joy set before him. He knew this day right now that people's hearts would be touched by the Spirit of God. That we would want and desire to be more like Jesus. To be filled with his Holy Spirit. And so I would ask this question, getting about ready here to close. What is the Holy Spirit asking of me? That would be a question that each and every one of us could ask ourselves. I'm not going to get up there and ask you that. What is the Holy Spirit asking of me? I know he's asking me not to be so quick to judge, not be so quick to respond, but, you know, he's asking me to spend a whole lot more time looking for that direction. But I know for sure he's asking Harley to love more. I know that much. I want you to love more. Here's a little kicker. Now, he never said in there not to speak the truth. A lot of people are in the condition they're in because of the lies that are holding their life. And we can't ignore them also. But yet in love, we help people through. We don't, because they fall and stumble and get up and fall and stumble, we don't quit. We don't give up on them. We don't do things that you know, maybe a lot of times that some would. We speak the truth in love. We love you, but you got to learn to listen to God. We love you, and this is the way out. God loves you, and he'll always be there for you, but you can't continue. You got to make decisions based on the Word of God. And as we begin to do that, you see, I don't know about you, but see, my ma, she taught me how not to love. She told me, she'd tell me, I'm telling you, sometimes she'd blast somebody. She'd say, well, you got to speak the truth in love. I said, there is no love in that. You just wanted to tell them what you wanted to tell them. She wouldn't believe me on that one. But she was a good lady, learned a lot of things, taught us a lot of things. But we never give up. Don't give up. Jesus never quit. And that's what we need to do today. We all make mistakes. I told you a bunch of mine. But we never give up. We never stop trying to become better in the things of God. Amen? And we never stop trying to help one another begin to be better. So let's stand and pray. Thank you, Lord. And then we're going to pray for you, Roxanne, up here after. Thank you, Lord. Father God, it's only the Holy Spirit that can do a work in our lives, because we've tried many different things. And yet, Lord, help quicken the things of God louder than the things of the world. Lord, help us to see with eyes that are spiritual and ears that can hear the voice of God, because you have a purpose for each and every one of us. We are part of the body of Christ. We have been called for a purpose. God, help us to rise up to the occasion and fight that fight of faith and never quit. In Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. If anybody needs prayer, come on forward. And in the future, we're going to look for a couple people that want to maybe do scripture night.